our key verse, 2 Peter, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8. 2 Peter, beginning at verse 3, it says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this reason, make every effort, and here's the ingredients here. Supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's make sure we're clear here. Living the Christian life is not always easy, right? Has that kind of been some of your experience, that it's not always easy? All right. Some of you it's extremely easy. But but while it's not always easy, it's not a secret how to live out our faith, right? It's not like, man, here it is, chapter 9, it's this verse, this is the secret. We're given like this clear recipe, like here's all the ingredients. And so far we've looked about adding goodness to our faith, and knowledge. Last week, unless Zeph's preached something totally different, he talked about adding self-control to the list, and self-control is this key if we're gonna walk in the way of Jesus, because we need the Holy Spirit flowing through us, need that control in our lives. And then the next ingredient is perseverance, or what my translation called steadfastness. And let's just, again, let's make this really clear as we go forward. How many of you have you ever watched like a segment of some morning show, and some top chef comes in and they say, here's how you can make a gourmet family for your family in 5 minutes prep time and 25 minutes in the oven? You ever watch one of those? And you look and you know, they say things. They're like, hey, you come home tired, and here's all you do. And you watch those, and you think, that's weird. In my kitchen, I don't have all the ingredients pre-chopped. I don't have all the ingredients laid out. The oven's not preheated. In fact, I don't even have some of the pots and pans that you have there. And my grocery store doesn't sell at least two of those ingredients that you have listed. And so I was thinking, you know, it'd be a little bit more realistic. You know, like for instance, let's say you don't have Himalayan yak. Does beef work for this recipe? You know, that would be a good one. Also, I was thinking, just make it real realistic. Have that person go out for a 10-mile run. And as they come in the house, say, okay, now it's time to cook. Oh, by the way, you can't use your left arm because you're holding a child in that arm. Let's make it real. And just for fun, let's have somebody come in that's not offering any help every 5 minutes, ask you if it's finished yet. Does this sound a little bit more like people's, yeah, that's like, you call that breakfast, right? You know? And to make it really more fun, just in the background, let's play some video clips of meals that you prepared that didn't work out well, just to remind you of the pressure that's on you at this moment. I'm thinking, that sounds a little bit more like life. You prepare that in 30 minutes. Let's check this out. And I think the Christian life can feel like that, right? Like you listen, and you're listening to the sermon, I've sometimes listened to some preachers, and I'm like, yeah, that's right. They had those ingredients, but have you done this? Have you tried this out in the real world? You know, because sometimes we complicate things, and I remember I was thinking this morning about a friend of mine that I played football with in high school. The guy was brilliant, but during one of the plays, something messed up, and our running back got tackled in the backfield, and we're walking back to the huddle. I said, "Hey, what happened on that play?" And he goes, "Well, you know, so when we went over it in practice, I'm supposed to." The linebacker and the guy that came through, I couldn't tell if he was the linebacker or the nose guard. And I'm like, okay, that's great on paper. In the real world, hit the guy on the other team that comes through right here, all right? You got the ingredients, but we got to put them to practice. And when we put it to practice, sometimes it takes creativity, right? Because you're not sitting in this ideal kitchen. You're sitting in the real world. And so we're going to need some creativity, and we're going to need some perseverance. You absolutely need perseverance. If you're going to do this, you need perseverance. Let me define that. It's the act of doing something despite of the difficulties or obstacles in achieving success. All right? You have obstacles in front of you. We've got our past. We got that video that's playing going, oh, you think it's going to work this time? Yep, you said that prayer and you went there and you promised God you're never going to do that again. Yeah, we know how this works. So that's all playing. You've got everything else going on. And so we need some perseverance. Think about it. I mean, if you ever played sports, you need perseverance. You ever graduate from any level of schooling, you're going to need some perseverance. It's Father's Day. Anybody that's raised children, you need perseverance. Did you make it through middle school? Seriously, I mean, that's like the longest period. I'm like, I can't wait to get out of here. This is terrible. I remember people used to be nice to me until I got to this grade. And what's going on here? You ever finish a game of Monopoly? No? See that? I mean, somewhere you don't only need perseverance, you need what Zeph talked about last week, self-control, to not flip the board over when you get through. But the reality is all of us, to some degree or another, we've tapped into perseverance. It's something that we used. And this isn't for the faint of heart to follow Jesus. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes it's costly to follow Jesus. That was the weirdest thing for me at one point. I'm like, it's actually harder to do what Jesus says right here. I was convinced it was going to be easier. What's better? All right? It leads to life. That doesn't mean that it's easier. And this isn't a sprint. All right? This is a marathon. You know, you keep going. You look and you're like, hey, that wasn't... You know, that 100 yards right there, that wasn't really great. That's okay. Keep it up. You got almost 26 more miles to go. We'll figure it out somewhere along the way. And the challenge is somewhere along the way, we look and we go, can I do this? Can I finish this race? I really need something here. And I think Peter is pretty intentional in where he placed this. He places it right after self-control. And I think it's because we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this alone. You weren't meant to do this. Maybe you guys don't do this, but there's a few times where I've cried out to God and, you know, said some things like, I can't do what you want me to do. I remember crying that out one time, and he's like, we're on the same page now. I can do it through you. The Holy Spirit. You're right. You can't do this on your own strength. You need me. I sent my son to the cross to die for a reason. I sent my Holy Spirit to live in you for a reason. It's God working in us. And that gives us perseverance to finish. A gentleman named John Acuff, he wrote a book called Finish. And in his book, good news for you here today, he says 92% of people don't finish the goals or the resolutions they set for themselves. 92% do not finish. Man, I'm glad those 92 are all out there. We got the 8% right here. This is awesome. And I read that and I'm like, these are goals they set for themselves. These aren't self-imposed. This isn't somebody, you know, because there's plenty of goals like my parents had for me. Like, your goal is to have this room clean by this time. Yeah, 92% on that. But these are things like, I want to do this. I want to accomplish this. I'm like, man, that's kind of depressing. And so this perseverance, this is important. This is important stuff. The author of the book of Hebrews, he gives us this incredible passage to encourage us to be faithful when life gets hard. I didn't say if, I said when life gets hard. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And we'll just kind of hang out here the rest of the time we have. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. It's always awesome to hear that paper flipping. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I always love that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's interceding on our behalf, which is really great, because I feel like Jesus is right there. It's like, okay, Father, you see what Don's doing right now. He needs you right here in this moment. And the first reason that it says that we're given, that we should persevere, is because we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. I love that. I love that picture. I foolishly ran a half marathon one time, and I remember coming in just thinking kind of how cool it was just to see people. Like, these people didn't even know me, and they're cheering. And I don't know what the runner's high is, but I felt it, like, as I finished that finish line and thought, I don't have to move anymore. But anyways, that great cloud that was here, and it reminds me of something, that the older I get, the clearer this becomes. You and I were created for, you and I are DNA hardwired for community. We are hardwired to connect with other human beings. We're designed for that. Science tells us that. The Bible tells us that. In fact, the Bible tells us, and even modern science tells us, we find healing in community. Think about like an AA group. Why do they gather all those people together? Because they're telling their stories. They're healing in community. Why don't they just do a one-on-one thing? There's something about community. There's something in our hard wiring, something that God has created us for, and you weren't meant to do this alone. If you're doing the Christian life alone, you're doing it differently than how you've been designed. You and I have been designed for community, and this whole passage tells us that there's multitudes that have ran this race before us, and it kind of gives this picture. It almost sounds like they're cheering us on, right? Which is kind of interesting. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, like, you know, Moses is up there. Is you know, David? Is Mary up there? You know, like, you can do it. Keep going. You know, sometimes I think some of them are like, really? That's what you're complaining about? You know, like Job. Like, come on. That's it. No, but they're cheering us on. I mean that seems to be the indication here. Don't build a whole theology on this, but it appears as if there's multitudes that are cheering us on to remain faithful. And this is motivation. And not only that, you have people around you. You have people around you. The Bible talks about don't forsake the gathering together. And it's so we can encourage one another, so we can spur one another on to good deeds. We were meant to do this together. So we persevere because you're not alone. You're not alone. You're in the body for a reason. There's a video I'm going to have playing just a little bit, and it may be very familiar to some of you. It happened in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. It's a great video for Father's Day, and it's a story of perseverance. There's a man, Derek Redmond. He's running the 400-meter dash, which is like a really tough race. And partway through the race, he pulls his hamstring, and he's gonna limp through. Let's go ahead and watch this video and see how Derek finishes the race with the help of his father. I think my favorite part is I don't know exactly what the dad said or if I could repeat what he said, but just basically like, mind your own business, I got this, you know. Hey, he can be disqualified, yeah, we get that. This moment right here, me being here with my son, this is more important than anything else. I wonder, have you ever felt that way in life where all of a sudden you're just like, it's over. The dreams I had, the hope that I had, the pain, the disappointment, the regret, the shame, guilt, hurt, it's too much. I can't even go on. And Peter here, he reminds us that perseverance is a necessary ingredient. We need this, and we need one another. And Hebrews, it encourages us, telling us that hey, there's others that have ran this race. They've made it. They finish. There's others that are with us, that are running alongside. And in that moment, you know, he knew, hey, I'm not winning this race, but I'm darn sure going to go to the finish line. You know, and the dad says, And I'm going to help you. and we go along. Doesn't matter if we limp to the finish line, all right? That's where we want to get. And one of the fundamental truths in the gospel is Jesus saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be there for you in your worst moment. I was just sitting there thinking, I was watching that. It was actually in 1992, I was competing at the NCAA championships, and a couple weeks before, I'd slipped and I split these fingers open. I was a discus thrower. It's really hard to throw a discus with stitches in your hand. And we got to the NCAA championships, and that week I did some warm-up throws and got on the phone. And when I say phone, I don't mean this. I mean throw the coins in and do this kind of thing. I called my dad and I said, hey, you might want to save yourself a trip. This is not happening the way we had hoped. And my dad, being my dad, says, all right, I'll see you in 2 days. And he showed up, and the meet went about how I thought it would go. I couldn't hold on to the discus to even put it into the sector. I put three outside the sector, and afterwards I said, hey, I'm sorry you came to see this. And he said, I came to see you. I didn't come for that. I came here to be with you. And I look back at every moment. I'm like, yeah, that was cool. He was here at this great moment. He was here at this moment. He was here. I'm like, that one means more to me than any other. And sometimes that's where we got to be there. That's where we're called to be there. There's a second thing the writer tells us in this journey. He says to lay aside every weight and the sin. And this translation says, which clings so closely. It's kind of like, hey, I don't want this sin. I don't want, but it seems to cling to us. You ever notice that things cling to you? It's like you take it out of the dryer and it's like, hey, this is stuck together. And anybody here that's raised, you don't want anything weighing you down, right? I mean, some of them is like, well, maybe you could have left a little bit on, but you know, they strip down. They're out. They're gonna run, and some of us are carrying things that we don't need to carry. I mean, one of the things that we carry is the weight of sin. You know, the things that I've done, and I carry those things, and it weighs me down. Some of the things I carry, somebody handed them to me, really. You know, if somebody calls you a name or somebody hurts you, and I guarantee you in a room half this size, some of you have been severely harmed by another person. And sometimes we carry the weight of that. We carry the weight of our pain. We carry the weight of false identities, our expectations, our unrealized dreams. And sometimes, I've done this before, I carry the weight of unforgiveness. Somebody's hurt me, and it was wrong. They didn't recognize who I was. You know, you and I are created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore people should be treated with dignity. And probably every person in here, there's been a moment where you were not treated by somebody like you were created in the image and likeness of God. And sometimes what I do is I carry a burden that's not mine to carry. It's kind of like you're somebody's giving you a ride and you're holding all these weights sitting in the front seat. You know, like, well, this is mine to carry. The car works just as well if you just put that down, all right? And that's how Jesus works there. And I'm thinking about that. I think no wonder 92% of us don't finish what we set out to do. We're carrying too much. We're holding the weight of our sin. We're holding our shame. We're holding our guilt. We're holding those words that somebody said to us. And Jesus says, you weren't meant to carry that. You need to give that to me. And I think sometimes we don't finish because we get tangled up. We trip over our own sin. We trip over our past hurts. And I think this is why this self-control before, because we need to come to the Holy Spirit. We need to give that to Him. Healing and repentance lead to perseverance. Okay? Healing and repentance. And as I've said, there are hurtful things that I'd be shocked if somebody came up to me and afterward and said, I'm the one person nobody's ever hurt. Nobody's ever said an unkind word to me. I've never felt guilt or shame. I've never been burdened by anything. I think everybody here has had something that has happened to you that's not your fault, and you've been mistreated. Richard Rohr says this about our pain. He says, I will offer you a simple litmus test to determine whether a person has a healthy or an unhealthy religion. He says, what they do with their pain. Even in the daily little disappointments, do they transform their pain or do they transmit it? I think some burdens are too heavy to carry, and we need to give them to Jesus. And the reality is the pain in my life, it will be transformed or it will be transmitted. Right? Jesus is either going to transform that pain in my life by me giving it to Him, or I'm going to transmit it out to others. And sometimes we see that in generational sin. We see that with others with people that harm others. And I think this is where perseverance kicks in. Being transformed is not something we do by ourselves, right? Jesus isn't saying transform by yourself. And by the way, it doesn't happen overnight, okay? You know, you go, well, I prayed yesterday and today I still struggle with this. You know, this is something, it's an ongoing thing. This is something that God does working through the Holy Spirit. And so if you're carrying a burden today, you're carrying guilt and shame and hurt, unjust treatment, can I offer you something? Bring that to Jesus today. If you literally just wanted to walk over there at some point when we're doing worship and just like literally place your hands down there and say, Jesus, I lay this down. I'm giving this to you. Because Jesus gets it. If you want to talk about somebody that understands being unjustly treated, unfairly treated, physically abused, Jesus gets it. Isaiah 53, 3 through 5 says this, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As from one whom men hid their faces, He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He has borne our griefs, and He has carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him, the chastisement that brought us peace. And with His wounds, we are healed. What a great picture of Jesus. I mean, it's both horrifying and this beautiful picture at the same time that He gets us. He understands what it means to be despised. He gets it, what it means to be rejected. So not only are we weighed down by the pain, we also carry sin. And sin is when I live in a way that's contrary to the way of God. And when we sin, we hurt our relationship with God. We hurt our relationship with one another. None of us lives in a bubble. Right? What I do affects the people around us. And the book of Hebrews tells us that we run the race of life. We need to run it with our eyes fixed on Jesus, because He's the author, He's the perfecter of our faith. He's actually our source of endurance. You know, when you think, man, I can't make it another step. I can't go forward. That's when we lean on Him. And often, what happens is we look everywhere but to Jesus, right? I mean, some of us, it's like, well, I'm just going to pull up the old bootstraps and I'm going to do this. And it works for a while, right? Till you get knocked back down. But it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, which is interesting. How many of you have ever done competitive rowing or watched competitive rowing? Okay, don't correct me until we're done. Competitive rowing is interesting because in general, it's like every other race, right? You get to the finish line first. Those are the guys that win. But there's a key difference. In most races, like on track and field, you're focused. You're looking at the finish line. You're saying, when I get there, you know, I'm done. This is the goal. Well, rowing's different. You actually have your back to the finish line. You're not sitting there staring at the finish line. You're looking at he's called the coxswain, and so the rowers, they're not sitting there looking at that finish line. They're focused on this guy that's calling the plays and telling them what to do. And actually, when they win, you know which guy they lift up in the air? It's not the guys that did all the rowing. It was the guy that was leading them, because he directed them, right? And you look, I think our walk with God, this race we're talking about, looks more like that than this running race, because the focus is on Jesus. Because what happens is I'm focusing in on Him. I'm worshiping Him. I'm trusting in Him. And I become more like what I focus in on. And He leads us. He guides us. He equips us. We can persevere because Christ persevered. But where's my victory? My victory is in Jesus' victory. You know, when we sing about the resurrection, that's my victory. You know, I don't plan on getting to heaven and it's like, hey, I made it. You know, it's like, no, that's not how you get through the doors here. It's I'm here because Jesus, because of what Jesus did. The other night, I was reading a book by one of my favorite authors, Barb Winters, and she has a published book, by the way. But I was reading through this book. And there's a section in the book of how do we find healing in our relationship? How do we find healing in relationships here and relationships within ourself? And Barb had this like incredibly profound idea, at least I thought it was. She says, it's love. We find healing through love. And she quoted from the NIV, I'll put it up here. 1 Corinthians 13, 6 and 7. It says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I was reading that. I'm like, that's it. She's right. You're right. I'm like, that's it. The answer is it's love. Love always perseveres. Think about that all the way through the points we've talked about. It's the love of God that He's placed us in community, right? It's not a have to. It's a need to. God has lovingly placed us in community. Lovingly placed us in families. Babies don't survive on their own. Right? They need that connection. They need intimate connection, that face-to-face. You have failure to thrive without that. And so God has lovingly placed us in community and families so that we can heal in community as we love one another. We need community to heal. And then it's the love of God that forgives our sins, right? And brings us into the family. It's the love of God that allowed Jesus to persevere over the cross. One of the most well-known verses in the world, John 3:16. For God so what? He loved. God so loved that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the joy set before Him. When he goes to the cross, and it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the shame. That's the joy right there. The joy is that you and I would be a part of this kingdom that has come. It is coming and will come in its fullness. Here's my question today, and then we'll have the worship team come up. Will you receive God's love today? It's God's love that's going to have you persevere. And in that, I'm just going to say that anywhere up here, your seats are all open to literally, you know, whatever it is, whatever you're holding on to, whether it be sin, whether it be hurt, something that was done to you, like literally lay that down. I mean, even take your hands and say, okay, God, this is what I'm holding on to. This is what I'm going to lay down. I'm going to lay this down. I'm going to receive your love. I'm going to receive your grace and your mercy, because it's your love, it's your grace and your mercy that is going to guide me, that is going to enable me to persevere, not if, but when life gets hard. And this may be a moment where life is hard. So let's receive his love today. Heavenly Father, so thankful. So thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, you haven't abandoned us. You sent your Son to save us, to redeem us, to bring us into relationship, to bring us into community, to bring us to a place where we can heal together and we can love, know your love and your grace and your mercy. And Lord, I pray for my friends right now. I know, Lord, there's got to be people in this room that are carrying weights. And I pray, Lord, today that we would just lay those down. We'd lay those down at your feet. We would lay down everything that is hindering us from persevering. And we would move forward by your love, by your grace and your mercy. And Lord, I pray that there may be some that have never received what you did for them on the cross. And I pray today would be the day that they say, Lord, I lay down everything and I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness for what you did for me, that the devil fired everything he had, but you stood in our place at the cross. And Lord, we receive your forgiveness, your love, your salvation. Have your way, Lord, with us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.